Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 9:20 p.m. Saudi Arabia time, and I'm recording a little earlier than yesterday because I'll be heading to the airport relatively soon. And with the flight chaos in the USA yesterday, I'm not entirely sure what time I'm going to get home. So, if I have an opportunity to record the big picture audio in when I stop off in Frankfurt, I might take that opportunity. So I'll we'll see what happens. But certainly, gold is doing better today, up nearly $22, continuing to extend this rebound from around the 1600 level and the region of the 1000-day moving average. Now, prices have been pretty much going sideways for 2 years. And I think we have to remind ourselves that in the big bull market between the early part of the 2000s and the peak in 2011, there were three instances when gold went sideways for 18 months. And each one of those lengthy medium-term consolidations was resolved by an emphatic break on the upside, where we had a resounding move that surprised most people. And it was at the point then when people got really bullish about gold that it went into another one of those lengthy periods of underperformance. And that's very similar to what we had back in the middle of 2020. And I suspect that we're due for another one of those moves before very long. So prices are likely to go up and test the 2000 level, but because they'll be overbought by the time they get there, we're due a bit of consolidation. But the bigger picture here is that the dollar is trending downwards. And this is a big change because the dollar was among the strongest currencies in the world all the way through 2021 and for most of 2022. Now it is back inside the underlying range. And the Federal Reserve is likely to raise rates by 25 basis points at the end of the month. Inflation figures came in today exactly where the market was anticipating. You don't get that very often. And investors don't really know what to do about it. But currency markets are under no illusion, and it's that if inflation is coming down as expected, then there's going to be less support for the dollar from higher interest rates, and therefore there's less need to hold it. So then that's also feeding through into demand for treasuries, and the 10-year was compressing by an additional 10 basis points today, importantly down below the 3.5% level. It's almost fully unwound the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. But I would hasten to add that it's unlikely to find support there, or I should be more correct and say that the yield won't find support there and prices won't encounter much resistance at that level. It's quite normal that yields would pop on the upside at the beginning of quantitative tightening because investors fear that the selling of bonds off the balance sheet would crowd out the rest of investors, and therefore that excess supply is going to would push up yields. That's exactly what happened. Now yield well then yields got up to 4.25%. And that was sufficiently high to encourage some demand to come back in. And of course, they're still reducing the size of their balance sheet and also raising interest rates. So the threat then is that they'll over-tighten, that there'll be the prospect of deflationary forces. So bond yields start to come back down. And I think it's reasonable to anticipate that we're going to see those yields come back into the region of the 1000-day moving average, which is a lot closer to 2% than 4%. And if that is going to be the case, well, then it's likely we'll continue to see a rebound on stocks. So the Nasdaq was off its lows in early trading. We'll see where it closes, but it continues to look like a rebound from the region of the October lows, and we know what happened then. We had a reversion back towards the mean, so at least a push back up towards the region of the sequence of lower rally highs appears likely in response to the increased demand for bonds. Then it's worth highlighting that the weakness of the dollar is also going to flatter the performance of US stocks. If we just redenominate the Nasdaq into euro, well, then it is bouncing from the 1,000-day moving average, but not nearly as dynamic a manner. So then let's flip that around and look at European stocks. So this is still in local currency, and it has very clearly popped on the upside and out of this little short-term range. But then redenominate European markets into dollars, and the rebound is much more impressive. And I think this should help to highlight that we're going to see a flight out of US assets into just about everything else. And we continue to see enthusiasm for larger cap dividend paying companies like the FTSE 100, where there are also a significant number of mining companies. Now, this is in US dollars, so we continue to see this more impressive rebound from the perspective of a US dollar investor. And in local currency terms, the FTSE 100 is now right in the region of the all-time peak back in 2018. And I suspect that there's a str well, I don't want to use too many conditions. I think it's very likely that we're going to see the FTSE 100 clearing the 8,000 level in pretty short order. And that's very much tied to those weightings of what is effectively very defensive sector or very defensive index with lots of companies that pay strong dividends. But then the FTSE 250, which is very much more focused on the domestic economy, is also pushing up and has now broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So we're definitely getting a rebound here in risk assets. And this is also bumping up against the broad consensus for markets from all of those reports that were written at the end of last year. The consensus was that we would have a weak first half and a big recovery in the second half. But I think it's perhaps more likely that we're going to have a big recovery in the first half. And then that's going to ease financial conditions. And the downward trend in inflation could easily have a deflationary force on the broader economy, which would then contribute to lower corporate earnings, and then we get weaker activity in the second half of the year. So I suspect that what we're getting right now is a shorter term rebound, more of a trading bounce, short covering rally, and then we'll see how much of that bounce can be held subsequently. But Europe is definitely less heavily oriented in terms of technology and trading on a much more attractive valuation. So I think that's rather important that when we think about the epicenter of risk, I rather think that we have this we have to think about, well, where are the epicenters of risk? So I continue to think it's in the unlisted sector, and most particularly in private equity, and particularly that portion of private equity focusing on commercial properties. And I know that the bull market in commercial properties has been called on several occasions, but occupancy rates haven't really recovered, and the Federal Reserve is very intent on trying to kill inflation. So then we can think about the high valuation on Wall Street relative to lower valuations just about everywhere else. And a lot of speculative activity was snuffed out of China. And now it's starting to come back in. And they are actively stimulating the economy. attempting to put a floor under the property market, and we continue to see that the H share index is extending its rebound and has quite clearly broken what was a 2-year downtrend. So we should also just pay attention to that the index really did nothing at all for the better part of 14 years. It's bouncing from the lower side of the range, and to go from the lower side to the upper side of the range is a 200% advance. Now let's think about India, and then the bigger questions about Russian oil, because the Nifty index is back in the region of the peaks from back in August, and the Indian market is less lustrous as a result of competition now from China. So we're definitely getting more of a pairs trade where investors are taking some money out of India, putting it into China because that's where the liquidity support is coming through most strongly. Then China appears very willing to buy the insurance necessary to ship Russian oil to China. India apparently isn't nearly as enthused about paying for insurance to ship Russian oil to India. So, how well they're going to be able to continue to benefit from that discount that they enjoy for all of that Russian oil is open to question, but at least it should help. Any oil that gets to India should help inflationary pressures. And then let's just, I guess I'm in Saudi Arabia, so let's look at the Saudi Arabian index. And Mahaden announced today that they're going to start going international. Now, it's primarily a phosphate and aluminium company, and they're certainly also investing in gold mining. And as they've got access to the best of the resources and the best of the mine licenses that are on offer right now in Saudi Arabia, the Tadawul all share is bouncing from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And the thing that I find most interesting about visiting Saudi Arabia is that people on the ground are exceptionally optimistic and very excited about the trend of governance. And I find that to be very, it's really inspiring that you don't often go to a country and have people bragging to you about how strong governance is and how there's no tolerance for corruption. And when somebody is put in charge, that there are key deliverables, and if they don't fulfill those deliverables, then they lose their jobs. And there's also a process underway. I was chatting with a young man from SABIC today, and he was saying that what the ministries are doing now is they're going to the better performing people in the private sector and offering to double their salaries if they'll come and work for the government, because they very clearly understand that they are going to have about 10 million people moving into the workforce over the course of the next decade, and they're going to have to find jobs for them. And in order to do that, they're going to have their best people working in administrative roles and not just talking about policies but actually implementing them. And I think that is almost akin to what Singapore was doing 50 years ago, that they were willing to make sure that they got the best people working for the government by paying people a commensurate wage to that of senior executives in the private sector. And twinned with a commitment to good governance and anti-corruption, that resulted in Singapore leaping ahead in terms of its economic potential. And obviously, Saudi Arabia is still an emerging market, but they are certainly also trying to tread their own path. Now, that's going to come with geopolitical risks because there's obviously a big discussion underway about whether they will start to accept renminbi and for their oil. And of course, that's going to be a very significant issue for the USA and the petrodollar global economic system. So that's definitely going to be something to pay particular attention to. And the Tata Wool Index tends to trade obviously very closely to oil. So oil prices are still steadying, and we're up another $1.30 in here today. So this is a I think increasing evidence of support coming through in this $80 level. And when we think about West Texas Intermediate, well, prices never really got down below the range at which the US government said they would start to buy again. And that repurchasing is likely, well, is slated to start in February, but they don't have to buy if the price doesn't come back down through that level. So the USA now as a major exporter and hitting record volumes of production has a vested interest in higher prices. Maybe not super high prices, but certainly they would like to have higher prices. And that's also going to greatly enhance the USA's balance of payments. So there's certainly a lot of activity going on, and we're getting a good size rebound in stocks. And I think that is something that could carry through for the next few months. Then we'll see what happens in terms of deflationary forces and the economic weakness and earnings. But that's very much a question for, I think, the second quarter. When we then think about companies like Apple, where it got all the way down to test the region of the 1,000-day moving average, well, it is bouncing. And now the bigger question is, how much further will that bounce go? Nothing has happened to change the fact that Apple's a highly cyclical company, and people don't change their phones until they have to, and that's usually attached to when the phone stops charging or holding a charge effectively, which means that people don't really change their phone until you've gone through 1,000 charging cycles, which is generally around 3 years. And a lot of people bought phones in 2021 and 2022, so they're not going to be buying as many phones in 2023. Nevertheless, we could easily see the price go back up and test the region of the sequence of lower rally highs, which would be about another $13 on the upside from here. Then let's also just pay attention to the fact that the dollar is coming down and bond yields are coming down. So that's lending some support to the more overlevered part of the market, and Amazon is bouncing and doing so in a reasonably dynamic manner in here this week. So we could also see it pushing back up to test the sequence of lower rally highs. Netflix was the FAANG man share that pulled back first and has subsequently rebounded and is now back above the 200-day moving average. Now, the pace of the recovery isn't nearly as quick as the pace of the decline, and that's normal. It could be quite a long time before Netflix doubles from here and tests the region of the peak from back in 2021. But it does look like the lows are in, and that we could move into a lengthy ranging phase as the valuation catches up with growth, which isn't likely to be nearly as quick in future as it was in the past. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.